Nice to see so many of you here this morning. As you well know, that the spiritual part of the service always begins with the call to worship. And the call to worship in the Divine Science service is actually an opportunity for all of us to shift the focus of our attention from the outer to the inner. And by the outer, I mean those people and places, circumstances, situations, those events and activities that have a tendency to draw our attention to something that is really not necessary. And by the inner, I mean becoming centered on something that is far higher and finer than what is evident at the moment. And it is here at this moment, when we begin to change the focus, that we can remind ourselves of the promise that I will be with you always. And though invisible, this so-called I is a spirit that is ever-present, as a sense of peace and of love that is really not experienced in this world. And it is always doing this perfect work through us and in us, day and night, whether asleep or awake. And yet it is so gentle that it never forces itself on us, as if to say, be still, my beloved. Be still. And know that I am God. This presence, the ancients, thousands of years ago, referred to it as the Lord God in the midst of you. It has been called Emmanuel, meaning God with you and in you. Years later, a man by the name of Jesus came and he referred to it as the Father within. And even years later than that, a man by the name of Paul referred to it as the Christ in you. Many names for the same presence. But notice where they placed this presence: in the midst of each one of us. And when we begin to quiet our minds, we soon discover that at that very moment, there is a sense of peace that the world knows not of. And so it is that this morning, in order to get a deeper realization of this everlasting peace that is ever with us and in us, let us begin by sharing the statement of being that you will find on page 2 of your Sunday program. After we recite the statement, we will have a moment of silence for personal contemplation and meditation. Let us begin. God is all, both invisible and visible. One presence, one mind, one power is all. This one that is all is perfect light, perfect love, and perfect substance. Man is the individualized expression of God, and is ever one with this perfect life, perfect love, and perfect substance. At this time, I would like to ask the ushers to please come forward for the offertory. To share this that has been given to us, freely given as gifts. As we share this, O most gracious God, we give you thanks. Amen. Thank you. Let me begin this morning by saying that that idea of an infinite source of supply runs very deep in the human psyche. As a matter of fact, for thousands of years we have had myths and legends, fables, fairy tales that keep this idea going. And when you think about it, listen to this. Who would not like to have that goose that lays the golden egg? Or how about that fairy godmother that Cinderella had? Many of us have read the stories of the so-called genie in the bottle, the magic lamp. But what happens to many of us as we grow older is that we tend to dismiss these stories. Or so it appears, but not entirely. Because this idea of an inexhaustible source of supply just doesn't go away. Even today, people are searching for ships that sunk hundreds of years ago in the hope of striking it rich, in the hope of finding unimaginable treasures. What about those individuals who play the lottery? Or those who are constantly looking for lost and hidden gold mines around Colorado, Arizona, New Mexico? And I, for one, I too am of the belief that there is an inexhaustible source of supply. I will admit to that. But the problem for hundreds of generations is that people are looking in the wrong places. They look in the outer for what can only be found in the inner. What did Ralph Waldo Emerson say? Though we travel the world over to find the beautiful. And I often say that instead of using the word beautiful, we all could use the word supply, or health, or love, or peace of mind. But this man said beautiful. He said, though we travel the world over to find the beautiful, we must carry it with us or we find it not. And by the way, whatever quality you wish to use for yourself or for someone else doesn't matter. What he said is true for all of us. We carry with us the very thing we seek. We carry with us that secret place that contains the answer to every human need. So much so that there is not room enough to receive it all. What I am trying to share with you this morning is that there is such a thing as a goose and a genie and a fairy godmother. There is such a thing as a magic lamp. But today we call it consciousness. Consciousness is that goose that lays the golden egg. It is our magic lamp. It is our fairy godmother. That inexhaustible source of supply is not a thing, nor is it an entity. It is an infinite substance in which we already live and move and have our being. And consciousness is the instrument. Call it the channel or the avenue through which it is made visible. And it is you and I who determine the quality and the quantity of what it is that we bring forth. In other words, consciousness draws all things unto itself. All things. Whether good or bad. Health as well as disease. Prosperity as well as lack. Happiness as well as misery, all things, and in abundance. As a matter of fact, even as we sit here, this very moment, we live and we move and we have our being in our present state of consciousness made manifest. Let me explain. Every day, We are bombarded by hundreds of books and lectures and classes and seminars and workshops selling the idea that success is dependent on how we package ourselves, on how we market our product. We are told that we dress in a certain way, and if we assert ourselves aggressively, the chances of being successful are greatly multiplied. We are encouraged to get degrees and certificates and titles. And we are told how important it is to know people who have influence, because that's what opens the door to our success. But about 2,000 years ago, an individual came with a totally different idea that we have totally ignored. He said that the quality of life is not determined by what we have or know, but by the way we think and feel. Not only about ourselves, but about life in general. As a matter of fact, William James, an early American philosopher in psychology, once wrote in so many words that the greatest discovery of his generation, which was 100 years ago, is that human beings can change their lives totally simply by changing their beliefs, their attitudes, their convictions, totally. And so it is that on the day that we really think through, contemplate what William James wrote, we will discover that our relationship with life, the whole of it, has a direct effect in our bodies and in our homes and in our relationships. Let me give you an example. The world that is barren, empty, dull, tedious, boring, is rich and exciting and fulfilling for someone else. In other words, one man's junk is another man's treasure. What makes it so? The way we think with feeling determines what is good and what is not. As is written in Scripture, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Using our regular secular words, as a man thinks with feeling, with conviction, so is he. I've often shared with in this pulpit, from this pulpit, and I've often been reminded that there is a school of thought that is called existentialism that basically says that life is meaningless, totally meaningless, that it is man who gives meaning to life. And the very same thing is written in the Old Testament, in the first book. God tells Adam in the Old Testament to name everything he saw. But it doesn't mean that he named cows cows and horses horses. Rather, he gave everything he saw a quality, which is what you and I do every single day of the year. We call this thing good and that thing bad. We do this on a daily basis, whether we're talking about personalities, the weather, politics, you name it. Everything is given a very individual and personal quality, even if we're all seeing the same thing. The only difference is in degree. That's all. I'm hesitant to share this with you, but I'm going to. I hope I don't upset some of you. It may turn some of your stomachs, because I personally believe that calf's liver smothered with onions is an excellent meal. And some of you are going to say, oh, what are you talking about? Well, we all think differently, which is why Paul said, be not conformed to your world. Because there's nothing wrong with the world. Thinking makes it so. It is the way we look at it that makes it so. Rather, he said, be ye direct quote, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Which is what William James was talking about. Emmett Fox, and then a divine science minister and a prolific metaphysical writer, wrote, as a matter of fact, there's a little book called Life is Consciousness. He wrote, change your consciousness and you change your life. My question simply is this to all of you. How many times do we need to hear this before we do anything about it? Especially if we do not like what we're going through at the moment. Not a day goes by that I do not hear someone say, because it's something that takes place in life, whether it's a disappointment, a catastrophe, an accident, and people say offhandedly, it is what it is. Inwardly, I never say this thing outwardly except to some very specific individuals. I disagree. Inwardly, I do. Inwardly, I say, it is what we choose to make it. Look at the world in which you live. You know what you're looking at? You're looking at yourself in a mirror. Khalil Gibran, the author of that little book, The Prophet, he went so far as to write that the murdered is not unaccountable for his own murder, and that the robbed is not blameless for being robbed. There was a time when Jesus went so far as to say, call no man on earth your father, your source. Meaning that individual or individuals who we accept as a pattern or a blueprint or a role model for our lives. He said, rather lift your eyes to that realm or that dimension of life that the world knows not of. Because nothing is going to change in your life or in mine until we get out of this box that we call the human condition. But it's more than a box. It's more of a prison. We are not here to demonstrate health, supply, companionship. We're not even here to bring about peace of mind or success. As a matter of fact, if you think about it, we really haven't evolved that far from the gatherers and hunters of old. But we're not here to gather and to hunt and to possess and to accumulate, but to get that mind through which the fullness of life pours itself, as is to say, I am come into your consciousness. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundant. And as students of divine science, I believe that this is very important to know, because the very desire to make things happen without first getting a measure of that mind through which every need is met simply becomes an exercise in repetition. Sooner or later, we all discover that there is a process to everything in life. The Bible refers to it as first the blade, then the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. This is process. Even that man Jesus of 2,000 years ago was in process. Our Bible tells us that Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with both God and man. He increased in many things. He did not come fully developed. No one does. There is a process to life. There is unfoldment. Many of us refer to it as maturity. Physical maturity, mental maturity, emotional maturity, and spiritual maturity. And all of this takes place in mind. So the desire to make things happen without first getting a measure of that mind that answers every prayer is simply an exercise in futility, destined to repeat it over and over again. Answered prayer begins as a mind, so in manifestation. But that mind that abides in that realm of pure spirit, that's the mind that we are to attain. Jesus said, quote, "Whosoever has this mind, to him it shall be given and in abundance." He also said, "But whosoever has not this mind, whatever he appears to have shall be taken away," destined to repeat the process over and over again. And by the way, simply because we read books and attend classes or even Sunday services, not unlike this, and because we understand what we've written here, and because we have memorized a lot of affirmations and prayer, does not mean that we have attained a consciousness of truth. Just a lot of information about truth. What I'm trying to share with you this morning is that we really do not need thousands and thousands of dollars or dozens of titles and credentials, but the mind that attracts what we need even before we need it. Thy Father, which is in heaven, knows what you have need of before you ask. That Father is a consciousness that is imbued with truth. That Father, by whatever name, the Christ in you, the Lord God in the midst of you, it is written, "Acquaint now thyself with it, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come to thee." There you have it. That's your fairy godmother. That's your magic lamp. That's your goose. Available to all who have attained a measure of that mind. Forget about changing your attitudes and your beliefs and your opinions. As is written in the book of Psalms, just be still. We voiced that at the beginning of the service. Be still. That's all it takes. And listen to the voice that is saying, "Be still, my beloved, and know that I am God." There's a story about a rich young man who once asked Jesus, "What can I do to get this mind?" And Jesus said, "Follow the commandments. Don't kill, don't steal." And the young man said, "I already do those things. I make an honest effort to follow the commandments." And in so many words, Jesus said, "All right, now go and get rid of all you have." He wasn't talking about materiality, things, houses, whatever, but about his mental and emotional patterns. Now, not unlike many of us, he was held captive in a prison that has no walls. A prison made up of his beliefs, his attitudes, his convictions. A prison that is often called a way of life, a lifestyle. We simply refuse to change. We really do. So many of us are totally convinced that if it weren't for the medications we take, we would die. That if it weren't for our family and our pensions and our retirement plans, we would be destitute in a constant state of without. But this is nothing to be ashamed of, because this is the natural state of the ordinary human being, held in bondage by certain attitudes and opinions and beliefs and convictions. And so many of us become so defensive, even violent, while trying to preserve these very beliefs and keep us in lack and limitation. As a matter of fact, proof of that is probably taking place a few blocks from here this morning. We fight for the very things that are keeping us in bondage. We don't change, even though inwardly so many of us know we should. Let me remind you one thing this morning. Whether we call them people or places or things or situations or convictions, everything in our immediate environment is always the result of consciousness. Which is why Jesus said, when you pray, take no thought. lift your eyes towards heaven. What is heaven? It's an awareness. It is a state of consciousness. It is a state that has often been described as a silence. And those who dwell in this silence, in the secret place of the Most High, dwelleth in God, and God in him. We could change that and say, dwelleth in answered prayer, and the answered prayer in him. A number of years ago, a very close and personal friend of mine was once asked by a teacher, what do you really want out of life? And without a second thought, he found himself talking about his physical condition. He was terribly underweight, terribly, and he was always sick. So when he was asked what he wanted out of life, immediately the thought of his body came to mind. He weighed the most he had ever weighed in his life at that moment, and he was still 20 pounds underweight. And he said, I would like to prove once and for all that there is a Spirit of God in me, in my body, and in my life. And his teacher said, all right, let's begin by letting go of the body and everything in your life. You were told, every time your body comes to mind, stop. Why are you focusing on a condition? Change the focus of your attention instantly. He was told, don't you know about the omnipresence of God? It means that God is here and now, with you and in you and all about you. He was told, forget the body and everything else. Just be still and know. And he said to me, years later, that from that day on, the mere thought of his body, he would immediately turn within to that silence in the midst of him, wanting nothing but to be in it. And he said, nothing happened in the first several weeks. But within a few months, he began to put on weight without changing his diet. He added an inch to his height. He said that his feet grew, that he had to buy a half size larger shoe. He said that every now and then he could literally feel an adjustment taking place in his body. None of this happened when he was a young man. He was 37 years old when this happened. This man's teacher was Nona Brooks, one of the founders of Divine Science. Her student, who eventually became my friend, was Dr. Ballard, the minister of this church years ago. So what's the lesson? My friends, leave the body alone. Leave your relationships alone. Leave your supply alone. Don't touch it. These things have no place in the secret place of the Most High. And besides, it's written that God is too pure to behold iniquity of any kind, the human condition. Your business and my business is with that pure and perfect being in which we live and move and have our being. It's not with the environment. It's not with personalities. It has nothing to do with relationships or supply. He that dwelleth in the silence, in that secret place of the Most High, shall abide under the care of the Almighty. And I say to you, even though thousands may fall at your side with allergies, unemployment, misery, unhappiness, and even crime, quote, it shall not come nigh unto you. Therefore, I'm going to leave you with this question. Choose ye this day what you want. An apple or the apple tree? Do you want an egg or do you want the goose that lays the eggs? I believe there is no question what it is that we would choose. Ultimate decision is up to you. Up to you. But the promise has been given to all of us. When you seek me with all of your heart, I will be found of you. And I will gather you from all the places that you have been driven. And I will bring you into that place from where you were carried away. So we make this lesson practical. So we try practicing right now what has been shared with all of us this morning. Let us become still. Simply place your body in a position that it does not call attention to itself. And know that we are not alone, but in a presence that is ever with us and in us and all about us, saying, be not afraid, I am with you always. I will bless, I will heal, I will restore. Just be still. Be still. Full and complete gift of life almost gracious God, we give you thanks. Amen. And may the Lord shine, bless you, and keep you. May he shine his love upon you and be gracious unto you. For he lifts your consciousness and gives you peace. Amen. Before we leave, I'd like to make a little announcement. This past week, Monday through Friday, a ministerial training class was offered. As a matter of fact, it is a required class that leads to the licensing of an individual into the Divine Science Ministry. It is my pleasure this morning to present a certificate to Mr. Wayne Gatewood, indicating that he has successfully completed the class. And I'm going to ask him to be with me at the receiving line as we leave this morning. It has been a privilege to every now and then during my ministry over the past so many years to come across individuals who have chosen to place their feet upon the path. And so it is that this morning, my privilege and my honor to present this certificate to Mr. Gatewood. Would you please come forward?
while you've been placing your feet upon the path. Sometimes it takes a visible commitment to show that we really mean what we're saying. And so it is that in the presence of the Almighty right now, you're being blessed, you're being guided, and you're being led into a higher realm of understanding. May this that is leading you and guiding you and instructing you, may it be made aware during those moments that you choose to practice being still. And so it is that it is my privilege to present this certificate to you. Thank you.
Let me put this away and I'll be right with you.